The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here and analyze this and wrapping up a conversation with Ms. Barb Michaud, Ms. Ali Harrigan, with director of Ms. Michaud, the director of Cancer Support VA, Colors of Cancer Campaign. Ms. Harrigan is the advocate par excellence. So you were telling us, Ms. Michaud, about a situation in Colorado?
No, there was just a patient who was a resident from Colorado.
Yeah, St. John, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And just sort of the trajectory that sometimes people, if they don't have a support system or their cancer can't be treated in the Virgin Islands, that they are if they are lucky enough to have these amazing siblings or a parent or someone that can navigate stateside. But we also had a situation, I don't know what the outcome was, Amit, but we had a husband and wife. The husband had cancer and needed to go get treatment in Florida while the wife was just entering hospice, both of them cancer patients. So their stories are out there, and Anique could go on and on and on, I'm certain, with some really amazing stories of where patients travel. Yeah. Their journey is long.
If I may, for a quick second. Sorry, Barb. Just actually, I know the time. There's a lot of challenges on island, Mr. James, and to all of the listening public. And Barb, we could go on like she said. But one of the things I wanted to say, to let people know that when they give, it's definitely impacting, you know, those who are in need. When we're on the commercial break, I had one minute to think. And as an ex-senator, Mr. James, you asked about where can we get coverage. We reached out last year to the legislative body. I know they have a lot of things on their plate and they're dealing with and the pandemic and schools and infrastructure, but cancer care in the Virgin Islands is very slim to none. We appreciate oncologists that we have here. The cancer center is down. So if there's an area that we can kind of make some inroads into, will be just that, the legislative. And I'm not saying that the government now needs to give us money, but as individuals who are leaders, they can give from themselves. You know, we didn't really hear much from that arena. I know it was election time and inaugural and stuff, and we were doing that stuff. But as an advocate, we rely a lot on businesses to give and a lot on the community. But the government or those constituents, they are part of the government. They are part of the community, and I would love to see more of a partnership with them to help this organization. Just to, you know, help the overall community. Just wanted to put that in there.
Ladies, I want to thank you very much for joining us this morning. Much success with the Colors of Cancer campaign and Cancer Support VA overall. And I look forward to talking with you sometime later on down the year.
Awesome. Have a great rest of the day. Thank you again.
Thank you. And take care of your moms and dad. All right? Make sure everything's good.
I know, right? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
And thank you, Anique. I appreciate it. You got it. That's Anique Harrigan, patient advocate, and Ms. Barb Michaud, director of Cancer Support VA, Colors of Cancer campaign. They got an initiative going on right now. You know something? I go do my homework before I get into this high-level conversation with Dwayne Henry, who not only joined me here in the studio, he brings some tea, man. It's cute. Lemongrass, man. You know what I'm saying? So I go for the rest of the day. Today is Friday, so the news hour at 7 p.m. Washington Week. At 8 p.m. in conversation with AARPVI at 8:30. Then at 9 o'clock, great performances. They say enjoy this London production of Cole Porter's classic musical led by Tony winner Sutton Foster. And that's a two-hour deal, okay? And they're going to run from 9 until, actually 2.5 hours. They're going to run from 9 till 11:30. And then Amanpour & Company is going to be coming out at 11:30. Okay, so PBS News Hour, Washington Week, in conversation with AARPVI. Great performances, and then I'm an important company going to be joining us. And don't forget, a number of different things going on this weekend. We got a cleanup down in West, sponsored by Cruise and Rum. Okay, tomorrow down in the Kmart parking lot, 7 a.m. right? They're trying to take up all that debris and all that stuff, all tire them and so. After road, we got a Lion Fish Derby taking place this weekend, starting today. Today is administrative. Tomorrow is when they're actually going out for the catch them, and then they cook in on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? So, and, you know, if we were back in the day, Dwayne Henry, you know we were going racetrack Monday, Memorial Day for the races. But you know what I mean? We had no live races here. It's a big, look, horse race. And that's how we pronounce it in the Virgin Islands, not horse racing. Horse race, right? We had 6 major days every calendar year. It's to start with Easter, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, right? And in between, Columbus Day was a nice one, and a couple others as well, all in a year and all that. But, and it wasn't just, and I see Glenn Roy, my engineer, shaking his head. It wasn't just horse racing. It was Friday and Saturday, man going to go buy new jeans, woman going Java wraps to go look at something, we go do the hair, because it was a socialite thing down there on the racetrack. That was part of life, Dwayne Henry, back in the day. You know, I'm sure, turn on the microphone there, you know. So we're going to get back to that. Hopefully, we get some live racing back in the Virginia as part of our staple for the holiday season. Now, Wednesday, Dwayne Henry, we had a great Bush Tea conversation with yourself and Russell Pate.
Thank you.
So I want to thank both of you. You actually earned yourself an invitation into the studio this morning because I was so good. I don't know if Russell listening and going to call you and all that stuff, but that is his. I know he's busy and he's working and all that. Counselor, it appears to me that every other day there's some revelation. This thing has now taken on a life of its own.
Absolutely. I think this... you know, 4 months ago, J.P. Morgan Chase had basically warned that they were going to do this, and they did.
Yeah, man.
I think people thought at the time that, oh, it was just involve a couple of people. But the allegations are spanning several administrations.
Yeah, man.
And people that you know, you're like, and full disclosure, I know almost all the people I know most of them, right? And I don't know a lot of these people to be that type. I don't, you know,
yeah,
you
man.
Know,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. We're not making excuses.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And I think what's happening here is people are getting caught up based on their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, you know, there's a new thing now they're implementing, Attorney Don Henry. I know Don Henry for many years. We worked together and everything. You know, she has worked. As a matter of fact, she's working now with a big national organization on plastic recycling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing has gone national.
Yes, sir.
And the accusations that they even tied in President Obama.
Yes, sir. And Eric Holder. Yeah, man.
You know, this thing is taking on legs, and it's really and unfortunately. The
political predators have been waiting for this.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
The Weekly Standard up in D.C. is just taking off with it.
and
CNBC.
The Washington Standard. Yeah,
the Washington Standard.
Yeah, yeah.
CNBC, which, you know, I've been a fan of CNBC for many years, but CNBC has always had a conservative thing. Remember?
CNBC. Yeah.
Maria Bartiromo. Yes, came out to CNBC. Correct. She went to Fox.
You went to Fox, yeah.
And then they had the other guy,
because the NBC network or NBC side is looked at as liberal,
very liberal.
Because that's where MSNBC and all
right.
is, and then Fox is the conservative network,
right?
And that's why you and I had this conversation about how important CNN is, because they have an opportunity and an obligation to not be extreme like the other two major news. Cable news networks.
Absolutely.
And they look like they want to take a side and be a certain way as
well.
Yeah,
they're going with the money. Apparently, picking a side is where the money is.
Yes, sir.
And you know, and everybody's just, you know, like I said, you know, in this climate, in this country, with everybody so polarized, you know, all you got to do is make one accusation about somebody and that's it, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Regardless of if it's true or not,
it could be
100% fault.
That's it.
Once the accusation happens, you got your work cut out for you, even if you're 100% clean.
Yeah. There's a lot of people in there that, you know, that some of the politicians that took legitimate campaign contributions.
Didn't even know.
Yeah, didn't even know. And I think all of them returned it afterwards or donated it afterwards. But, I mean, you know, you got... you know, when you run in for office or whatever, you know, there's some sort of vetting. But generally speaking, if somebody's going to come and write you a check, you know, you're going to put your hand out. You know, you're not going to say, well, hold on, let me just run a background check on you first and this kind of stuff. And
now we're hearing that they have canceled the deposition for Don Henry.
Interesting. Yeah,
because her role doesn't have anything to do with J.P. Morgan. And that's the next thing, too, that we need to talk about, right? Uh-huh. The J.P. Morgan window with Epstein was up until 2013,
uh-huh.
Right? And then when they cut him off, uh-huh. He went to Deutsche Bank.
Yes.
And that window went from 13 to 17, spent 5 calendar years, whatever uh-huh. it was. And what happened? I believe last week's settlement, uh-huh. Dwayne, uh-huh. actually triggered behavior.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So now, if Deutsche Bank's settling for 75 mil and their window of relationship with the accused, uh-huh. right? And the dead, because uh-huh. that's what he is, uh-huh. right? Was significantly shorter than the window of relationship between J.P. Morgan Chase. So that automatically begs a question. So wait now, them they're ready to pay now. Because mm-hmm. if who was he with he for less, mm-hmm. pay 75, mm-hmm. it looked like money coming and J.P. Morgan saying we ain't getting nothing.
Mm. I think part of that is because Deutsche Bank took over after he was convicted.
But keep in mind, J.P. had
a conviction that they should have considered.
Yes,
so Deutsche Bank, they had
no excuse.
Inexcusable.
Yes,
inexcusable for Deutsche Bank. They had to settle.
Yes.
They had to settle.
But J.P. Morgan continued their relationship subsequent to his conviction, which was in 2008.
That's correct.
They were with him until 2013, a whole 5 years before they said no something. It done.
But you know, this thing gets ugly because remember the Secretary of Labor was forced to resign.
Yes,
because he was the U.S. attorney
with Bush, he cut the deal. Yes.
And then this is the crazy thing that gets me is like there's several jurisdictions where Ms. Epstein is alleged or believed to have, or, you know, the way he did his recruiting and, you know, the ranch in Arizona, mm-hmm. the mansion in New York.
New Mexico.
And none of those states have said anything.
They're embarrassed.
Yeah. It's really interesting. It's crickets. Crickets from them.
Speaking about Don Henry, that's something that she said back in 2020. Uh-huh. She said when he was here, doing what he was doing,
uh-huh.
and alive, nobody won't say nothing.
Uh-huh.
And now he dead, and a lot of people talking.
Uh-huh.
That's a legitimate claim on her part.
She's absolutely right. Like I said, I've known Don for years. I don't know her to be the kind of person uh-huh. to be caught up in that kind of stuff. So, you know, not to, you know, defend that, you know, unconditionally, but I'm just saying my experience with her is that she's not that kind of, she's a very reputable attorney and she was our commissioner. And like I said, I'd known Don for about 10, 15 years. And
why do you think,
you know, I was really shocked when I saw her.
Why do you think CNBC is being not only aggressive, but comprehensive? Because their articles, it look like they last forever. I've never seen articles so long on the internet in my life yet.
I am actually surprised that CNBC has latched on to this.
Yeah.
They said every day they have a story on it. You know, and the thing is that, you know, for the listening public that's not familiar with CNBC, it's a business network.
Mm-hmm.
And for all, you know, and of course, they're probably reporting on a problem that J.P. Morgan Chase is having. But this doesn't seem to, I mean, this isn't going to break J.P. Morgan Chase.
I don't think so.
You know? So, from an investor point of view, in terms of investment reporting,
that's what they worried about.
Yeah.
Right? I remember reputation is.
Yes, of course, yes.
I mean, let's face it, mm-hmm. Arthur Anderson
mm-hmm.
never recovered after
never
Enron.
Never did, yes.
And
yes.
Arthur Anderson was a reputable accounting
firm.
And once Enron exposed mm-hmm. what they literally cooking the books.
Mm-hmm.
That would end of that. Reputation is valuable.
That's true. Yeah. But in this case, you know, I think J.P. Morgan is accused of not like that coconut books is actually illegal, you know, falsifying documents and stuff like that. They just simply, but they're accused of facilitating a criminal enterprise by being his banker.
You know, I believe J.P. Morgan real complaint is, how I could be going after we like this when 12 his business partners.
Well, that's what from the very first time we discussed this story.
In other words, mm-hmm. I don't know that we got issues with this. We had issues with this man. Mm-hmm. That's why we cut the half in 2013. Mm-hmm. I ought to do business with we. Mm-hmm. And not little business, neither significant business. Significant in particular, business. When you look at the ratio of dollars that are in play compared to the budget of our government and mm-hmm. the size of our economy. Mm-hmm. How I could kill we like this, man?
Yes.
I think they're very mad.
J.C. Paul, you know, because they have just come back like viciously. I mean, you know, civility is a thing. My law school dean used to talk about civility in the old days. He would say, if you file a complaint and the other side didn't answer you within the, you know, say you got 20 days and the 19th day, you call the other side and you say, hey, you know, I filed a complaint and you didn't answer it yet. But that doesn't happen now. You know what happens? We wait for them to miss the complaint and then file for sanctions and dismissal. So what I'm saying is that the lawyers these days are pretty ruthless in their prosecution of cases.
That word there, very, very accurate.
And this is what we're seeing from them.
No, yesterday's article, I don't care how you slice it, is a stain on the Virgin Islands.
Absolutely.
And you and I, and Russell involved, Attorney Pate, we have an obligation, right, to not only tell the entire story, but to also be concerned about how we are perceived as a territory.
Absolutely.
And this is not good.
It is not good at all. But, you know, not to disparage Puerto Rico, but, you know, Puerto Rico has gotten a really bad reputation.
For this type of thing.
Yes, and then just the other day, they busted 44 people for COVID thefts, included several baseball coaches and players.
Wow.
So the point is that, you know, the idea that the way that story was reported, the way this story went is going with Puerto Rico, it's as if like everybody is corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm getting, especially from the Washington Standard and
CNBC.
Is that everybody in the Virgin Islands is corrupt.
We have avoided that for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. And this now does, you know, brings us into the loop.
Yeah.
I remember we were labeled in the Panama Papers.
Yes, we were.
You know what I'm saying?
As a matter of fact,
so that's something to be concerned about as well. We got a call on the line. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take the call and continue to talk about the long-term picture. Because we ain't really getting into the finger-pointing thing. We're really into that here. But our biggest concern is, you know, possible conclusion. Because clearly at this point, in the best interest of the territory, we need closure sooner rather than later. But we need justice. And that's something that we can't ignore. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
Do you know about estate planning and its importance? AARP VI and the VI Economic Development Authority will host an in-person estate planning conference. Learn how to save, invest, and plan for your future and your families. Get key info about estate planning tools and laws related to trusts and power of attorneys. Protect yourself and plan your affairs ahead of time. Thursday, May 25th, 4:30 to 8:30 p.m. in St. Croix and St. Thomas. To register, 340-714-1700 or aarp.org/VI. The USVI Caribbean Music Festival on St. Croix is having their third performance on Saturday, May 27th on the Frederickstead Promenade. Headlining the event is the Caribbean Music Institute Orchestra under the direction of John Faddis with special guest Renee Marie. This is a community event presented by the U.S. Virgin Islands Department of Tourism, curated by the United Jazz Foundation in collaboration with Jazz at Lincoln Center and supported by the VI Lottery. Vendor booths open at 5:30 p.m. with St. Croix Zone, Rising Stars on festival grounds. And the stage opens up at 6:30 p.m. with the Territory Zone Steel Pan Special, directed by Victor Provost. Information at CaribbeanMusicHeritage.org or 646-725-3353. 646-725-3353. Festival live streamed at youtube.com/@USVI Music Festival.
We're back here on Analyze This, doing Henry, the Bush tea. He literally bring the Bush tea for me this morning, so I'm grateful. Thank you very much,
You're
Counselor.
Welcome.
And we got Colin Lane. Good morning, Colin. How are you?
Yes, good morning, man. We just had to call in about this issue with Epstein.
All this time you ain't call my show, and now because of Epstein, you calling my show? Seriously?
Well, listen, man, the nose hot, man, so me have to call in.
I don't keep an eye on you. I just keep notes about how you know that I'm watching you. What's up, man? Good to hear your voice. Been a while.
Listen, you. Well, yes, big up, man. We're glad to hear yours, you know. But what I want to say, since 2010, Epstein, I registered in the Virgin Islands as a Tier 1 sex offender.
Before that.
Well, the data I see right now, 2008,
he was convicted. He was convicted in 2008, so it had to be before that. That's what I'm telling you.
He was registered in other states first, then he moved to the Virgin Islands as a sex offender.
No, he's been here before. Listen to me. You're getting all emotional. Learn to listen. That's your problem. Learn to listen. He been here from long before that. He was here from early 2000s, late 1998, 1999. He got convicted. He got convicted in 2008, but he still had residents here all the time. That's the point that I'm making to you. So the instant that he was convicted, he was a sex offender. Him registering as a sex offender here is merely a formality and administrative thing. But the instant that he was convicted, he became a sex offender. A documented, convicted sex offender. That's the point that I'm making to you. Go ahead.
All I want to say is that looking at the data, him was registered in other states first as a Tier 1 sex offender. And in 2010, my data showed that him registered as a sex offender in the Virgin Islands. But what I want to say, though, is that anybody in the Virgin Islands who took money from Epstein for campaign after knowing that he was registered as a sex offender and that him prostitute young girls, me nah make no excuse for them. Anybody, and the can't say them didn't know, because everybody know who Jeffrey Epstein was. So anybody who take money in a campaign from Jeffrey Epstein after them time him registered as a sex offender is part of the problem. Because the youth them in the ghetto in the Virgin Islands, if them was doing that, the same people them who take money would have been indicting them young people and sending them prison. So me just wanted to say that me now make no excuse for nobody, because even at the University of the Virgin Islands and Department of Education took money from Epstein, who was a child pedophile, still for young children in the Virgin Islands. That's a crisis, man. Crisis, man. I make no excuse for man what hurt little children, a prostitute, little children. How the University of the Virgin Islands and Department of Education still take money from a sex offender, a pedophile.
Hold on a second. Why would you make any excuse for anybody? time for you to make let me finish. It time for you to make no excuse for anybody. It would be them would have to explain their actions. It time for you to make no excuse. That's the point. Tell you calm down. You make a legitimate claim. Your check. You're supposed to say they have no excuse if they were knowledgeable of. That's what you're saying, right?
Everybody I know who took money from Jeffrey Epstein after them time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why when the attorney, the great counsel you have with you say that some of the people that me and no one there, me not make no.
He referenced one person today. Don Henry. No, but you're calling in and you're down the offensive, and I'm telling you what he said. He referenced the commissioner, Don Henry, who was commissioner at the time for DPNR from 2015 to 2019. She ran for office in 2020. Jeffrey Epstein died in 2019. It does not apply. That's why I tell you to calm down, because you're going all over the place. She ran for office. As a matter of fact, she ran for office in 2022.
Uh-huh.
He died in 2019. So you're going all out and you want to be on the offensive, and you're wrong in this case.
I just wanted to paint the brush.
No, you just tried to apply a broad brush, and I had to call you up on it. Be careful when you're going after people.
Call me up anytime.
I got to do it. That's my job. I got to do it. But you know, I enjoy conversing. I enjoy conversing with you because you got it right, the raw emotion, and you know all that stuff. Matter of fact, let me let the learned attorney respond to what you said.
Yes. Like I said, when I was speaking, good morning, sir. When I was speaking about Attorney Henry, it's not alleged that Attorney Henry took any money. And Attorney Henry definitely didn't receive any campaign contributions, because Epstein was dead when she ran for Senate.
Yeah.
The newspaper article, the article, it says Don Henry asked him for donations to some groups, not for herself, from some community groups.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, a lot of people fail to realize that one of the organizations that's been caught up in this is a community foundation of the Virgin Islands.
Correct. CFVI.
Yes, yeah. And Antilles School. There's a lot of nonprofits that used to approach Mr. Epstein for money, you know, or at least his companies. A lot of people, this is another thing. EDC companies are required by law.
Statutorily.
Yes, yeah. Required by law to make charitable donations.
Correct, charitable contributions, right. Correct.
It wasn't Jeffrey Epstein writing the checks. It was his EDC companies.
Mm-hmm.
They were following the law. So when somebody solicits an EDC company, regardless of who it is or who owns it, and ask them for, you can't say that those person directly asked that person. They asked the EDC company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened in many of these instances. So we really need to be careful when we say that people were taking money from Epstein. You know, there's a lot of EDC companies around here that nobody don't know who those people are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And they're taking the money left and right.
Yeah. And we're not condoning what Jeffrey Epstein did, what he represented, his, you know, heinous,
mm-hmm.
criminal, wicked behavior, abusive behavior, we can. But at the same time, be careful with the broad brush application. That's
what I want to say. I want to say one more thing before I go.
Go right ahead.
Me now make no excuse for people who are going Manhattan in a Jeffrey Epstein penthouse.
You can't.
And I haggled with him.
You can't.
Me can't do that. The congresswoman, she went with Jeffrey Epstein in a Manhattan eating caviar.
And
all them things in a Jeffrey Epstein penthouse in a Manhattan.
She actually,
excuse for them kind of thing.
Yeah, she actually answered that. I believe they answered that in late 2018 or early 2019. And all of them claim, you know something? We gonna get this money that he made available to, because I think it was about three or four successful candidates,
mm-hmm.
who were identified as having received... Mm-hmm. Contributions either from Epstein's estate or Southern Trust Company. I think that was the name of the company.
The EDC company,
and all of them say, look now, keep it back, take it back. That don't mean that they should have done some more due diligence at the time they receive it. Uh-huh. Because I mean, you gotta protect yourself, uh-huh, right? But they had to deal with that. They had to deal, yes, with that fallout. And you're right. You are right. But let me finish. Let me finish. And you are right that you can't excuse, right, taking money. And that's why, you know, I myself have been in the political arena, and it had one entity that used to want to send me contributions, knowing that I don't support them. I support the opposition. The Czech Times got fun with them in that regard. But you're right, you know, Carla. You got to scrutinize who you're getting that money from, because it could be embarrassing down the road. And I agree with that.
Well, me understand that. But, Mr. James, I think the evidence is clear that even though it was organizations giving the money, that most people know it was Jeffrey Epstein and them in a control of these organizations. That's why people were in a Manhattan hanging out with him. And even more people in the Virgin Islands know Epstein went and get in trouble for messing with little children. But you know what may realize, Mr. James, is that they have two different communities, one for the rich and one for the poor.
But hold up a second. You confessing now that you just realized that? Live all your life, and now you saying that you realize that predated all of we. It going on after we, and it is absolutely wrong. But it's a reality of life.
If it was the poor children them in the Virgin Islands,
but I said the same
who
thing.
Who was doing these type of things? The same people that would not take money from them youth in the ghetto.
But
it's a rich, powerful man, billionaire. Them forgive him sins. But if it was a poor person,
No. I agree with you on the first part that we don't want to go after the youth man them down in Harlem, and Bedford Stuyvesant. I want to go easy with them. I go easy with them there who live up in Westchester County and Greenwich, Connecticut. I agree with you with that. But this thing that we don't forgive who got money, speak for yourself. Be careful with that. I can't allow you to make that broad statement there, because you know what you're doing? You're casting the net on the entire Virgin Islands, and I can't allow that.
No.
Don't do that.
Jeffrey Epstein, billionaire.
Don't do that.
Billionaire Jeffrey Epstein was forgiven for all his sins dead. After him prostitute little children in 2008 and 2009.
Dead man can't talk. I always remember that.
Mr. James began, I just wanted to chime in with that.
You take a long time to come back, man. Good to hear your voice.
Yes, man. Big up.
All the time. Take it. You know, getting back to J.P. Morgan, uh-huh, right? They said J.P. Morgan has denied denies wrongdoing in the case, uh-huh, right? They have been accused of being negligent, right? Isn't that the argument the government is making?
Yes.
That or turned a blind eye.
Yes.
I think that's
they
the actual
language. They had fiduciary duty to.
Correct. Yeah. Money was sharing.
Yes.
While Epstein were doing business with them up to 2013. Uh-huh. They can't deny that, man.
And actually, since the Patriot Act and its progeny,
yes,
there's a lot of increase. The Federal Reserve instituted many regulations to try to show. Listen, I have USAA. Every 6 months, I don't get, when I go on my app, a questionnaire pops up. How much money do you plan to deposit every month? What is the source of this income? You know, there's a lot of bank reporting that the banks have to do. How much of it is international? What is the source of that income? You know, what is your job? I get that every 6 months. And of course, it never changes. But the fact is that the bank asks for it every time. And these banks, and that's because there's a federal regulations when you're dealing with wire transfers, because my bank is stateside, yeah, and almost all my banking, all my banking is wire transfers of one way or the other.
Let me ask this question. The staunch, aggressive position that JP Morgan is taking, mm-hmm, is this because they got to go meet their shareholders on a monthly basis.
Absolutely, Jamie. You know, Jamie Dimon got a lot of explaining to do, like they
explaining,
say.
Yeah.
You know? So,
and they got to show that, no, we're defending your investment into
exactly.
the company. That's what this is about.
That's exactly what they take is that, you know, we're defending the company, which is you.
Yeah, the reputation.
Yeah, the reputation, which is you.
Of this. Because remember now, John Pierpoint Morgan. Everybody know JP. Look at John Pierpoint Morgan and Carnegie Mellon and all that stuff.
Rockefeller.
This is money. This is banking money that has global implications. We got Carla on the line. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning, Mr. James.
Good morning. I been absent all along, and all I coming out of woodworks this morning. I'm not laying. I get away with it or not. I really believe that I gonna use me and call when it convenient for Ayo. But I've been missing Ayo, and I used to call regular, and all of a sudden now big issue come up, and Ayo show up. And the audience. I'm gonna tell you now, the audience doesn't like it. because they feel like they're being used. So I will be careful. Seriously.
You have the attorney there with you today as well, right?
You know I do, man. You know that.
Yeah, come okay. On, well, I ain't called to pay line with the Epstein. I mean, all of that was known already to me. So it's not news to me. As far as if anybody read the Daily News February 19, 2020, the front page, Epstein Enablers. So that information and all that stuff. But I want to give a little positivity today. Senator Samuel Carrion's office in late March, we had a meeting, a Zoom meeting, and his office asked what they could do to help with the fresh water bottling initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him, well, if you could arrange a meeting with Andrew Smith, because I had spoke to him when he was on your program about the initiative, and he said it was something that was viable. But because it was a top program, we couldn't really get into depth. So a couple of days ago, I got a call back from Ms. Janella John, a staff member with the senator's office, and they're arranging a meeting with me and Noel Hodge. Noel Hodge is the man that's over water. I know Mr. Hodge when I worked there. Know him well. Very intelligent guy. He was also the interim CEO between Mr. Cuffer and Mr. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So
the meeting is going to happen soon?
I could come back and update you and the audience as to where we are with this initiative. Because one of the things that I'm showing WAPA is that this would be a zero-sum game for them. Because with them in a public-private partnership and them supplying waste heat, well, now what waste heat is for the listening audience is that heat off of a gas turbine exhaust, which could be somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 degrees Fahrenheit, is now ducted, and now that temperature is used to produce steam instead of having to purchase fuel to heat it up. Now, fuel is WAPA's major expenditure.
When they set up the meeting, call me back and let me know so we could stay on top of it and be aware of what's going on right now. We got to go to a break. Thank you very much, Mr. Grant.
Problem.
I appreciate that. Okay.
And audience, thanks for that time and opportunity.
And look on and enjoy. Enjoy.
A piece and a little good news. We
appreciate that. And enjoy the long Memorial Day weekend as well. Okay?
All right.
You got it. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
New business opportunities at Bankers St. Croix. Bankers St. Croix offers deposit banking products, business online platforms, and commercial loans. Our SBA lending department offers financing options and access to capital for businesses. Bankers St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and Peters Rest, 340-713-8500. BankersStCroix.com. Bank of St. Croix is an equal housing lender. Do you know about estate planning and its importance? AARPVI and the VI Economic Development Authority will host an in-person estate planning conference. Learn how to save, invest, and plan for your future and your families. Get key info about estate planning tools and laws related to trusts and power of attorneys. Protect yourself and plan your affairs ahead of time. Thursday, May 25th, 4:30 to 8:30 p.m. in St. Croix and St. Thomas. To register, 340-714-1700 or aarp.org/VI.
And we're back here and analyze this, and you know, we're dealing with, you know, the aftermath of a story that undermines our reputation externally. Attorney Dwayne Henry, where people are now asking legitimate questions. You know,
absolutely.
You know, were we? And this goes back, and I brought this up when we had the conversation on Wednesday, to that Prasa article in the Wall Street Journal back in 2000. Where they pretty much labeled him as a rags to riches story, where he came from Nebraska with virtually nothing and got himself linked with Cornelius Pryor, right? And they purchased Vitelco. And we even mentioned, we periodically mentioned that Third Circuit case, right? Where the Third Circuit literally told in their opinion, that the PSC got broad regulatory powers,
right?
Because Vitelco had sued, got a favorable ruling at the district court, and then it was appealed to the Third Circuit. Third Circuit ruled in the PSC's favor, and then, you know, ironically enough, they write the article about Prasa in 2000, the Wall Street Journal, and then he loses the company 7 years later,
right?
Right, so. This is another situation here, right? Where in a over a 20-year period, somebody came here, got themselves in a great financial position, and lost everything. In the case of Epstein, came here late 1998, 1999, and 20 years later, he commits suicide. You see the parallel there, where you know, they make so much money, right? And a lot of it, you know, I don't want to say wrongfully, but
Questionably.
Excellent. That's why you're here. That's why you're the lawyer. You know what I'm saying? And then in the end, because of the abuse of Tony Henry, they end up with nothing. And sometimes they lose their life. Take their own.
Yes, yes. You know, the whole thing, this is a tragedy. This whole thing is a tragedy. That not for Mr. Epstein, but for all the other people that's directly or indirectly involved in this caper, for lack of a better term. But you know, hopefully nobody else goes down the road that he went. But you know, some people, like I tell you, there's a lot of stress on people these days, and you know, you're dragging people's name to the mud and stuff like that. Hopefully we don't have people that choose an exit and
dragging,
like he did.
And dragging the territory through the mud.
Yes.
There's two questions I want to pose to you in this last segment. The Herbert Hoover, over 90 years ago, comes here and recognizes that we need some assistance because we got to generate revenue on our own. Can't keep depending on the U.S. Treasury.
That's a euphemism.
EDC program, right? Is that now going to be, you know, subjected to some type of jaundice eye and scrutiny because of the abuse where Epstein is concerned?
Absolutely. That's what I'm telling you. People need to understand that there's a serious consequences coming down. First of all, the European Union has already labeled us a tax haven.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes,
so
sir.
Europe don't want to do... Well, actually, people wonder, well, how come we can't? It's because Europe prohibits its member countries from the... And they're showing preference to the other Caribbean countries, number one.
or their residents ducking out of where they generate revenue for that particular country and seeking haven in these parts in the Caribbean islands.
Exactly. Yeah. So Europe is already ostracized us. But not only that, there's a certain group of congressmen or a large group of congresspersons who
conservative congressmen.
Yes, here you go.
From conservative states. Let me put it that way. States.
That have for years been complaining about our EDC program.
K-POP.
Yes.
Right.
And I guarantee you we're gonna see some changes in it because people fail to realize is that we are able to do the EDC program on permission from the United States Congress because we don't have our own any taxes or whatever we do in the Virgin Islands. It's not that it's not inherent.
Not locally created.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And whatever authority we have to implement any local taxes was granted by the Congress and is supervised by the Treasury Secretary. The Treasury Secretary might decide, let me cut our losses here. And because they did it before when we had to revamp the EDC program.
That's right. That's right. And then we can go back 40 years with the rum cover over with the Blumenthal case.
Exactly, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people and need even, to you know something, some consequences.
You know, while in the legislature, and you know, I've always prided myself on, you know, wanting to read and learn. You know, it might not be at the same level in terms of value a dollar, but we had watch factories here.
Oh yes.
We had the Foreign Sales Corporation, which actually is at the same level,
yes,
maybe even
FSC,
more.
Yeah.
Right? All of these things we lost.
Yes.
That were beneficial to us from a financial standpoint. Why? Because them there up the road had a problem with the kind of money we're generating
exactly.
at the expense of residents in particular
in their
states.
Areas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember the last time and Puerto Rico had the same problem with the pharmaceuticals.
We had them too.
We had pharmaceuticals here too, but Puerto Rico had a huge pharmaceutical, which has been decimated because these congressmen deleted or modified the U.S. code to such an extent that it didn't make any sense to invest down here. The last time when the EDC program was revamped, that was because there was a guy here that had an EDC company, and he owned the biggest car dealership in Missouri.
Yes.
And I remember going to St. Louis and seeing his commercials on the radio. Yes.
Right.
And the state of Missouri complained to the Treasury Department that this guy was sending all his money that he earned in Missouri and cleaning it up through the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, and that created two provisions in the federal statute. One that dealt with residency.
Yes.
And one that will source income.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I remember that. When I first came in, Senator Positive Nelson and I, we met with K-POC down there because I think they were based in Arkansas, right? Or some state.
Missouri.
And the state. No, I think it was for the case of K-POC, I think it was Arkansas.
Okay.
And basically what happened was Arkansas realized, wait a minute, you know, we cost them to get this revenue to help pay our bills. Mm-hmm. We're gone. And when they do the due diligence and they find out the people them set up shop in the Virgin Islands, that's when they ratted on us.
Yes, yes.
To the federal government.
Yes.
Well, let's call it what it is. Yeah. And the next thing you know, we had the technical amendment to the Jobs Act in 2004.
Yes.
And the rest forced us to clean up our act. Now, we thought we were going to lose $100 million a year. Mm-hmm. I remember the article. You know, the very first time I ran for office, and that was a big item of concern and discussion for candidates back in 2004. An article like what comes up in CNBC yesterday, though. This is bad because it includes agencies, elected officials, the University of Virgin Islands.
The University.
David Hall had to actually issue a statement.
He denied all allegations.
Issued a statement last night.
And that's a very reputable guy, and then it really
painted the Virgin Islands as whatever you need, you could buy. And that's the last type of picture you want to paint for a jurisdiction.
Absolutely.
Because that means that the laws are of no value.
Exactly. You know, like I said, we're a banana republic.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right. The way how these media outlets are painting this thing is if every time Dick and Harry is on the take
with
down
a dollar.
Here.
No, every time they can hurry, who in need of a dollar,
all
you go do is call them, and you go get help. Now, let me ask this question. Russell mentioned, his attorney paid mention on Tuesday, hindsight is 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That threat in February, Did we just ignore it, or because it looks they carry through it on it? They carry through on it.
You know, as an attorney, and you know, I think most attorneys will agree with me that you when you prosecute in these kind of cases, it's high. The stakes are high. So when somebody hits you with something like that, you would think that, and this is one of the problem because
this is poker,
you know. It is poker.
The question is,
it is poker.
The man with the stack,
yes,
right, which is JP Morgan,
yes, yes, yeah.
And you got some change,
yeah, you got you some change. In other words, you got the skills.
You could call what they bet me, you know.
Yeah,
the question is, are you willing to go to the end?
Right, and like I said, maybe it's because we're using outside attorneys.
Yeah.
Because I refuse to believe that the Department of Justice didn't realize where this is going.
And not only that, we're finding out now that out of the $105 million in the settlement, 20 plus of it going to the outside firm.
Yeah, 23 million.
That's what we're talking about.
So the point being is that a firm in New York doesn't understand what's happening in the Virgin Islands.
As long as they're getting the check, they really care neither.
Exactly. So they just went for the juggler and JP Morgan pull a kung fu move on them.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Carla.
Oh, y'all just made my heart so happy. Morenito, I will call you cafe and I will call Mr. Henry, Attorney Henry, latte.
Good morning.
This is Elizabeth Cochran Pichardo, comprende?
Yes, how are you?
Good morning, Ms. Pichardo.
Good morning. Nice to hear you both.
Of course.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm alive in paradise. So, now I'm so excited that I'm able to speak to you on the air. No, and I'm not coming out of the woodwork like you were saying about the other guys because of Epstein. All of that is stuff that we've known for years.
Well, this is the first time you called. He used to call before, but he stopped calling.
This is the first time I called. I booted into the station the other day.
So my gloves are off. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to say that those and that this the stuff about EDC companies and all of these nonprofit and they're receiving money. Mm-hmm. You know, that's as you say, it's been going on. I remember once when I worked at Emerald Beach, mm-hmm. and that bar. They say this is a place where you could come and in 2 years you could amass wealth. And that's what got me, and then non grata with the court and labor, because I mean they used to be saying, oh no, the Virgin Islands, just like remember Roger Morgan.
Yep.
Oh yeah. And Roger Morgan talked about, I mean, you know, the way you could 15 monkeys throwing paper at a fan and all of that
We remember those derogatory statements.
Right, exactly. So this is something that is there. And now I guess everything is boiling over. But since we're some Jesus people, I call it that we go for Jesus justice and common sense in following the laws that they are there. But, you know, democracy is not to sit down and watch it on a big screen. No. It's to be active.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right.
Anyway, muchísimas gracias. And
igualmente.
Mr. James,
thank you very much.
Left my number there. I do need to speak with you if it's possible.
Okay. I'll make that happen.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a blessed day. You
good
too.
To hear your voice.
Gracias. You too.
Okay, good.
Take care.
Awesome. Bye. I haven't heard from Elizabeth in a while.
Same here.
Good to hear her voice. Mm-hmm. We got a listener said, good morning, Neville. This latter half of your program is so substantial. I hope the whole thing is taped. So I got to thank you and the callers and the audience, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you very much for
all that stuff. Well, that's how we do here, you know? I keep saying I'm fortunate that we're an NPR station, so we're obligated to give all the angles. Take what positions you want, right? But because we're not into getting into the confrontation. I mean, I had some fun with the first caller and all that stuff, but that was all in good fun. But at the end of the day, the audience is sharp enough, intelligent enough, and has the capacity to arrive at their own conclusion. They don't need us to tell them how to think. And I don't ever want to buy into that. At the same time, though, we always have to look out for the best interest of the territory.
Absolutely.
And some of us might be partial. I remember my partial days. I was all synchro. There might have been a time when I would... You know, after the revelation of yesterday, see what I tell you? Yeah, you know what I mean? That was when mm-hmm. that was whenever. The real big picture, it's like the Anne Golden situation,
yes. right?
When you read the indictment, you're like, mm-hmm. geez, I'm bread man. But then when you stop and think about it, you mm-hmm. say, but how does it look? How do we look now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that should really be our concern, I would think,
yes.
going forward.
Absolutely. Justice has to be done. I agree with that part.
Yeah. We're not compromising justice.
Not at all.
Justice.
But you have to look at what is, we can't have a scorch or strategy. We're just bundling the whole place.
You know my biggest concern is? Those who legitimately want to get into the political arena mm-hmm. will want nothing to do with it now, because if they believe they got to play the game mm-hmm. this way, mm-hmm. then they gonna want to play the
Absolutely.
Game. That's our biggest concern. Yeah. I should mm-hmm. be our biggest concern, because the future leaders, because look, that Washington Standard mm-hmm. article there, they went after Antilles School.
Yes, and Community Foundation.
Innocent people involved there, mm-hmm. and now with this blanket approach, mm-hmm. you get the impression that they're trying to paint Antilles School, because they make it seem like Antilles School is a school that creating these political monsters.
Absolutely, because they said that this guy went to that school.
They mentioned Paul Hoffman, attorney Paul Hoffman. You know what I'm saying? We really got to be careful. And you know what it boils down to also? The voters.
Mm-hmm.
Vet people when people say they're running for office. Make sure we vet them in total.
Thank you.
Check, because at the end of the day, this egg in our face now, I don't know. So in a minute, how close are we to closure? Would it be settling, dismissal, what have you? Or is that?
Well, let me tell you, after this valley. This valley, 198 wrongs going, taking out great squares. I say 5 months.
5 months?
Yeah. I don't think nobody wants to take this into January.
And not only that, well, 7 months then. Seven months.
Yeah.
So, but you also don't want to make it look like you're caving.
That's true.
On both sides.
Yeah, neither side.
Yeah.
So, the both sides will come to a settlement.
Let me ask this question. We got 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Is the government going to cease business relationships with Chase this afternoon by 5 p.m.?
That's going to be a tough one, because, they hold a lot of funds for us.
And
it's not like people say you just pick up and pull money out, because don't forget them other banks thinking, they could do that to us too. Yeah. So,
That's an excellent point.
That's what I'm saying.
Excellent point. Thank you very much for joining me in the studio, man.
Of course.
Thanks for the lemongrass as well.
Of course.
Thanks to the audience for listening. And thank you to Mr. Joe Brugos, Mr. Steve Carr from Caribbean Risk Group, and Ms. Barbara Michaud and Anika Harrigan for Cancer Support VI. Enjoy the weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Be good and be safe. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party, or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression, and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
If it's happening around the world...
NPR's Frank Langfitt is in London covering this one. Hey, Frank.
Good morning.
Cuba is experiencing its biggest anti-government protests.
If it's happening here at home...
On a blistering hot day in Twin Falls, Idaho...
On the northeast border of Mississippi, where the river nourishes rich and green...
Morning Edition from NPR News will take you there, wherever the story is. Listen every weekday.
From 6 to 8 a.m., here on WTJX FM 93.1.